Yo, Parish Orphans and Retrogrades. Today, joining with me is my director extraordinaire, friend Nicholas A. Stumphauser. We're going to be talking about updates to the film we're working on. There are many of them. Plenary promise that can be adequated in many ways because there are several updates. And we're going to get right down to it. But a lot of it involves Nicholas, the current events. And I just want to jump right into it by saying we are having talks with many major conservative media around Thanksgiving, Christmas about this film, many of whom were very, very interested. And what we promised was that What a Woman Is, which we're pitching as a sort of sequel to some conceptual films that have already been made.
Totally indiscernible what those films may have been.
what the films slash films might have been. That it would be the issue of 2024. And it became the issue of 2023 in the summer, largely because of the spectacle of Pearly Things. Mm. And I said, look, blank, it's going to be the issue in 2024. And blank said to me, well, no, isn't it going to be the election, though? I was like, no one cares about the election. Everything is fake. Everything is fake in Jahay. So you take it away, man. I mean, it's promising to be the issue of 2024, and no one gives a flipping side doodle about the election.
I was just going to ask you what's happening with the election. I was going to ask you who's playing in the playoffs.
Yeah, like I don't follow sports ball. Who's in it this season? Who's struggling to make a playoff berth? I think they're all out aside from Warp Speed Man.
Yeah, Warp Speed Man and Uncle Joe.
Yeah. Who will probably be replaced. But here's the point. No one cares. Everyone's like, can he do it this time? It's like, well, we all think it kind of was him climbing the mountain last time, but he didn't get his propers. So that makes people not care. We don't want to go any into it. And just as you and I told our friends at the major media, our friends, look, the intersexual dynamism is going to continue to be the issue for real conservatives in 2024. And you could tell from Daily Wire that we were right, because
yeah,
Pearl Davis is going on. Klavan had a talk with Knowles that I'd like to make a few references to. She yep. went on Whitlock the other night.
Yep.
And I will be going on Tim Pool's show to debate Rollo Tomasi this Friday, and you will be coming with me, filming me. Why are you doing that again?
Because we're making a movie.
About what again?
What a woman is and ought to be.
What is she and what ought she to be again? I can't remember. You got to watch the movie.
Perfect. You got to watch it. Find out this yeah. fall, hopefully, God willing. Yeah, so it's a little also unnerving that it is becoming the subject of 2024, only because our Blessed Mother told Sister Lucia that the last battle between the church and Satan
yeah.
is going to be between marriage and the family.
Right.
And it's like, well, I don't want this to be the last battle. Like, are we that close that yes. this is nobody cares about politics anymore? It literally has come down to what a woman is, but it seems like that's what it's come down to.
Right. Right. And that we have this sizzle that I'm always trying to get you to show everyone.
Never.
Never. And you have a block that you won't. It's a 12-minute sizzle, and you have that Sister Lucia quote from right at the beginning. And it's so true that politics are stupid and really downstream of the family. And that there's pretty much no other attack that could be waged. And therefore, we had to make this film, What a Woman Is, because as successful as Daily Wire's What is a Woman was and will be, And it was a good, you saw it and thought more highly of it than I ever, I usually hear you talk about other documentaries. It didn't answer the question. I mean, except, I guess, in terms of material causation, you know, we do the four causes here on Rules for Retrogrades. Materially, a woman is an adult human female. If the deepest you're going to go out of Aristotle's four causes is saying materially caused by being an adult human female, good. That's a start correct to a correct answer. But what we're really after is a formal cause and a final cause. People know efficiently what causes a woman. It's intercourse. But formally and finally, the question has not been answered. And that is what a woman is going to do.
Yeah, when Richard Dawkins agrees with you, like, you're not breaking new ground. He just tweeted recently about some DNA chromatography that shows you whether something's a man or a woman. He's like, sex is binary. We know. We have known. This is
no one ever didn't know that. No one ever didn't know that. If you're talking about the new puppet show, which Gaines says the proposition, then like, okay, cool. But where as I've been saying for a long time, GD, the beginning, the word dysphoria, began in earnest around 1848. And that was just feminism, a woman thinking she can be a man, act like a man, be a man functionally, start talking about gender roles. And then really in around 1990, GD wave number two broke off from feminism, and that was L and B and G. And then around 2014, 2015, you throw in the T for not Tim, but for something else. And that was the third wave. And then conservatives started making movies about it when it was in its least potent, least demographically relevant iteration.
Whoa. Which is so emblematic of conservatives to be like, you know what? This is our line right here. After a century and a half of malfeasance, we're putting our foot down, buddy.
Yeah. You do not say. Girls can be in men's sports. But if a man tries to play a man's sport while a girl is playing it, then we draw the line. It's like, that's weird. And again, we're not smack talking. It's just, So conservatives began getting really mad over Bud Light and men fighting in UFC against women who shouldn't be in UFC in the first place because that's gender dysphoria. And they're like, whoa, this guy's dysphoric. He wants to fight against a woman in a man's sport. I'm like, my brother in Christ, that's true. That's true. But don't you see that a woman in a sport is gender dysphoria as well? So this movie has all kinds of implications, and it generated all kinds of excitement among the biggest media and conservative media. I mean, real excitement. We were pitching it as not the, and it's not going to be the trolling little brother film that one-ups criticism of third wave gender dysphoria with criticism of first wave gender dysphoria. It will just do that in a non-trolling way. And here's the first update. So I want to talk a little bit about the current events that will make this continue to be relevant. But I do want to talk about, in the most proper sense of the term, what is an update for us with regard to the movie. It's a tragic setback. It's an unfortunate thing. And some of our dear friends who have been EP for many, many films, have had to bow out because of serious health diagnosis. And this provides, so everyone please pray for one of the parties who informs an EP, executive producer, a funder, mainly a funder of a film is an EP, who had to drop off. Please keep, you can do this, kind of an in abstracto recipient of prayer in your prayers. But this leaves the opportunity for someone, or you know, maybe two people who are Catholics who like to do this sort of thing to step in and fill the shoes. We still have one or two parties who we expect to act as EP, and this means that really with moderate sized action toward the funding of this film, which we're you bought cameras. We're starting. You're rolling with me out to Washington D.C. on Thursday, and that's going to be in the film. That'll in some wise will be in the film, and we are going to start interviews soon. So this thing is beginning production, but it was being held up by the news from our dear friends who have had to bow out. It was being held up because we were kind of waiting to see what the full diagnosis of that and other another sizable setback they were experiencing would be. And so we held up a little bit. You want to say anything to that, Nate, in production-y type terms?
Yeah, just making movies is really hard, whether it's Hollywood or independent. This is by definition independent. And I've told you this before with entrepreneurship in general. There's a paradox in entrepreneurship where when you solicit funding for a project, whether it's a creative endeavor or something that you're eventually going to sell, people who might potentially invest, they often want they want the security of something that's already 2 years into success, right? So if I were to go to a bank and say, hey, I need a loan for $250,000 to start a company we're going to sell car tires. And they're like, okay, we need to see 2 years of sales. And you're like, well, no, I'm trying to start the company. And they're like, yeah, we can't give you the money unless we know we're going to get the money back. It's like, well, I can't get you the money back until I have money to start the company. And so it's this paradox. And sometimes you break through that and you make something out of nothing. And you get commitment from somebody who can see the vision in the way that you see it. And they understand that, yeah, there's a risk, but it's a risk worth taking. And that the upside is huge. And we found those people. And I was actually talking to a mutual friend about this. I was like, it's not surprising how hard it's been to get from zero to one on this. Because of the implications of what we're about to do.
Yeah.
There's going to be diabolic impediments or just anything that can go wrong will go wrong sort of thing. Which seems to be what happened with The Sound of Freedom, or at least that's how they were presenting it for all the obvious reasons of what the implications of that film were. And it's not a cope and it's not a reflexive excuse for religious people to say, oh, well, spiritual warfare is at play. It's like legitimately spiritual warfare. And our mutual friend was telling me, he's like, well, that can sound like a self-important reason.
Yeah.
And I said, it can, except I know for a fact you and I don't see this as like our project, in that it's our project because we're the ones physically doing it. And you and I are in love with the story that we're telling. But it's, gosh, this stuff always sounds so corny. It's not our thing. Like, you're not telling truths that you made up. These are like God's truths.
Yeah.
And so if they are going to have a positive effect, it's because they were true first. And it's really hard to get stuff from zero to one when it's good, when it's right. When it's degenerate, there's no risk involved in monetizing degeneracy.
Or when it's 70% of the truth. I mean, you sell to liberals and secular humanists and usually conservatives when it's degenerate. You can easily sell to mainstream conservatives when you're willing to tell 70 to 80% of the truth.
I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. And so people are like, wait a second. So you're saying you had interest from all the biggest guys?
Literally. Very much.
Quite literally, you can't name a bigger entity that wasn't sincerely interested at the brass level in acquiring, distributing, funding this film. Here's the problem. None of them were comfortable with saying 100% of the truth.
And we said from the very outset, look, there will be no edit of... If you even were to watch the 12-minute sizzle, out there, Parish Orphans and Retrogrades, and if I could like drug Nick and get him to show you this 12-minute sizzle. Some people have seen it. Anthony Abate has seen it and was like, wow, is all I can say. You can go ask him if you don't believe me. Then you would see that there are a few words being used that like constitute the 20 or 30% that mainstream conservative outlets are going to want to shave off and be like, this isn't 20 to 30%. It's like a word or two.
You're
or
like, three, no, or four. That's the binary.
Yeah, well, we're answering what a woman is. And like in 310 to Yuma, he's like, I am taking Ben Wade all the way to the train, come hell or high water.
Mm-hmm. All the way on the train.
People know this about Rules for Retrogrades. And to the extent that they watch the show, it would be great to have this thing go on the biggest conservative outlets and make tons of money and edify a bunch of people while we do it. But if that requires compromise on the message, it's a no deal. It's a no deal.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, look, obviously the case for patriarchy is the book that, at least in its recent iteration, you guys know started all this.
Mm-hmm.
It really did. And, you know, then the book kind of sat dormant and I published another book after it, Don't Go to College. And it took fully 2 years. Some books take 20 years to hit. And it was large. People ask, well, why were we really rooting for Pearl Davis at the beginning? Well, because one, she's raised a Catholic and is saying a lot of the right things or a lot of the right criticisms. But two, because she started the avalanche in middle 2023. And that's what got everyone talking about it. And she was at the beginning really taking a lot of good advice that she began to ignore, not just from me, but from other people that helped her to make the case for patriarchy until she stopped making it. Then she started saying, don't get married and crazy shit. So I guess what I want to say is that's most important. I think Sound of Freedom went to funding it by
they did
crowdsourcing. Well, we don't want to do that. That's not necessary. No. We have a large part of what we need, but I am looking to call on Parish Orphans and Retrogrades out there who have the money to contact me at Timothy J. Gordon at timothyjgordon.com if you want to have a significant royalty share.
This is what executive producers would get if they're putting out serious funds. We're talking high five figures, low, very low six figures, if that's the sort of investment that you're typically comfortable deploying. These are the type of individuals we're talking about. You know, sort of serious inquiries only. And the reason being is, Sound of Freedom did originally due to just how unbelievably difficult it is to go from zero to one. They outsourced to crowdfunding, and they would sell tickets. You can actually go watch on their original trailer on YouTube. It still says at the bottom that this is testing the waters, quote unquote, testing the waters to see if there's interest. And they raised, I want to say it was something like $11 million was their total budget. I don't know if all of that money was from crowdfunding, but a significant portion of it was. And then it made $231 million.
Yeah.
Which is just an incredible, incredible upside on these things. So,
and bear in mind, I don't call in credentials all the time, but I'm the guy that told you fiduciary supplicants would happen. A lot of people saw that. I'm the guy that in very specific terms told you how Pope Gloria TV is now reporting non-sacramental deaconesses are coming. I told you exactly it would be that. Non-sacramental deaconesses that are just like...
That thumbnail is so perfect. I told you so.
Yeah.
Sam's thumbnail.
Sam. Yeah. Goodly young Sam who makes that thumbnail. And I'm just telling you...
Calling the shot.
This is calling the shot. This was the full truth. It came out in 2021. I thought more Catholics would be mad at me about it, more Catholic feminists, because we're badly infiltrated by feminism. They got more mad at Steph for Ask Your Husband, and I'm glad that that book has outsold this one. But this is the book that in the recent iteration started it all, started the avalanche, and all of the important people we're talking about have a copy of the book, and most of them have read it and quoted it with or without attribution. And but many of them with attribution. And it got things started again. And so whenever someone's like at a major network is like, hey, I want to start, we're going to lean into the intersexuality thing, I'll typically get a call and they will say, hey, Tim, you know, we're going to be going this direction. I don't want you to think that, you know, I want you to take this as respect, not disrespect. And I'm like, well, yeah, I do. In a sense, you're recognizing the truth here. But like I told all you guys, because I have friends at all these networks, it's the issue of 2020. It's the issue until the Perugia, reclaiming the family. It might not be able to be done aside from little patches. And so you know potential investor or investors. We don't need many of them. So you got to be the first if you want this thing to
like
happen.
Two.
We need like... Depending on, you said high five figures. If you're five figures, we need like two.
Yeah.
Or at most three. I mean, if we're talking five figures at all. This is going to go fast, and it's likely going to go nuts. There's a good chance it's going to go nuts, because all the other movies that are coming out about it, Pearl announced that she is making a documentary on why, on divorce and marriage. And I think it's why people shouldn't get married. And there are others that are going to be making films on this because they're seeing it that we were right. It's the topic of 2024. I didn't make this call in 2021 when I published this. I just said the full truth. 2023, it became easy enough for me to call the shot. So you got to hurry. That's the point. And I want to move into further evidence that this is absolutely... But just judging the ground, the surround, this is the issue of 2024. It's already borne out. We're in the third month, and no one cares about the election. They're all talking about it. And
no one cares about Andrew Tate anymore, which is interesting that he wasn't... Pearl's still kind of hanging on to her relevance a bit. You know, there's a few appearances here and there. More recently than there was 6 months ago, there was a bit of a lull there. But I find it interesting that Tate, being sort of the central figure, the central provocateur on this subject, I don't know, maybe he's in some Bulgarian, Romanian prison right now doing push-ups and drinking black coffee. I don't know what's up with him, but nobody really cares what he has to say anymore. And it's interesting that the subject is sustained past him being a provocateur on it.
Yeah.
Which is just evidence to what sticks around. Movies, pornography, booze. It's like escapism and feel good things. And movies and prawn are simulations of love and intimacy that people can't live without. This is why the lockdowns for the beer bug were so bad. You know, you could measure the inflammatory markers of people who were left alone for 4 weeks. And it was the same as people who had like strong influenza. Because being alone is bad. It's like bad for your health. And I think as the world outside just gets worse and worse, people don't care who's running for president. It's been so played out. It doesn't have any effect on your life. And it's WWE. It's all rigged. Nobody cares. What do they care about? Well, like, I don't know, love, their romantic partners, their children. And the more people go and shout from the rooftops, like, there's something better than this. Or like, you know something's wrong. I know something's wrong. I think people go, I think something's wrong. I think something's off about the way we're relating with each other. And because it's so, I say selfish, not in the pejorative sense, but it's self-interested. And it's within your control to change. I don't see this waning in popularity until after the question is definitively answered. And I don't think anyone's going to definitively answer the question until our documentary is made, if I may be so bold.
No, 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 they won't. Well, that's been proven by the books that have come out on intersexuality in the last 30 years. There are some decent ones, but none of them are willing to tell the whole truth. And the human condition and the single cell of society are measured in terms of a basic unit. Is that unit the individual person? No. Is it the state? No. Is it the individual citizen or denizen of the state or city? No. It's the family. The individual unit is the family. And when the only folks out there who are criticizing feminism with any teeth, I mean, some conservative sort of feminists criticize feminism, but not the most pernicious, menacing, insidious, furtive elements of feminism. When the only ones doing it with any teeth are the red pill people, who are actually the black pill people, who are saying specifically, like Pearl, like Rollo Tomasi, like Men Going Their Own Way, like Andrew Tate, like Aaron Clary, like Paul Elam, like Myron Gaines, all of them are selling some version of family is old-fashioned and erstwhile and a relic of a bygone era. And they're like so infused. They'll literally be like, family's a relic of a bygone era. So for our generation and future generations, we need to do without family. They don't get the basic truism that without family, there are no future generations. They are literally telling men, do not have families, do not reproduce. And I'm intentionally pulling no punches here because I have a debate on Friday. I never tell where I'm going to own my opponent. Yeah, where the punch is coming from. But it's going to be so specific on Tim Pool's Culture Wars on Friday. Rollo Tomasi. Last night he said something like, oh, Tim and I agree 85%, because some of his critiques of feminism are really nice, but we do not agree 85%. Sorry. Dr. Patrick Deneen said this when he debated me on the Right on Point podcast. One of Trump team's attorneys and his sister used to run a podcast called Right on Point, and they had me debate Pat Deneen. And Pat Deneen saw, wow, to be arguing against Tim in terms of scope of political economy, and I'd have to be arguing against subsidiarity. So I just want to say this is a discussion, not a debate. And I kept saying, no, it's a debate. Yeah, I disagree with you. We're debating.
We're fighting. One of us is walking out of here.
Right. So that, I mean, that's being scared. I'm excited. I'm really excited to go and do this because the two sides in this have been feminists left and right. That's one side. There are a lot of right-wing feminists that are not willing to say what's actually wrong with feminism, of course, because it would be self-critique, versus the black pill, which says that marriage is the opponent, contraception is the way, that the opposite sex is promiscuous, and the solution is not weaponized chastity, but rather weaponizing promiscuity by your sex, and that women are basically equal. Both sides say this. Women are basically equals. They should be in the workplace. But Paul Elam and I think Aaron Clary told me this when I debated them on Pearl with Andrew Wilson on my side. They're egalitarian. They don't like marriage and family. They like contraception. They like women in the workplace. Does this sound like feminism to you? It should. It's also the red pill, black pill. And it's going to be a pwn job on Friday. So I'm not going to get more specific than that. But the point is, Pearl has been on Daily Wire twice in the last week. She went on Whitlock last night or the day before. I think this is going to roll into the summer of 2024, just as Pearl kind of reopened it in the summer 2023. So
yeah, and just on the Pearl Whitlock thing, I'm not sure if, were you going to get into that?
Yes, I would like to, but you say what you're going to say. She said that she's considering not being Catholic anymore because Catholics have placed Mary on too much of a pedestal, and it is worship of the feminine. I have a very specific critique of this.
Yeah, she's like, you know, this isn't thought through all the way, and I'm just flirting with it. But looking through history, we tend to elevate women above where they should be. And she's like, I'm wondering if the Catholic Church did that with Mary. And so she's like, you know, I'm just, yeah, yeah. Woo. And then,
bro, we are talking about the mother of God who is born unstained by original sin.
Literally the only perfect woman, the one perfect woman ever.
Yeah.
Her.
And I'm just like, when I saw that clip, first of all, I had to 2x speed it because the 3 seconds of the point that she made was clothed in 43 seconds of womaning. But I'm reminded of St. Paul's teaching of, I suffer woman, suffer not a woman to teach in public. It's like, especially one who's unmarried, who's not sure about these things, and it's just gonna like let fall out of her mouth that maybe we're just like too hype on the whole Mary train. Like, go home.
Yeah,
go home. This is so bad. And any other point in history, like, men with helmets and like shields would have shown up and been like, this way, madame. You're coming with us.
I'm not sure they would have said madame.
Yeah, maybe.
But no, it's the exact opposite. Here's my critique. The Catholic Church has forgotten Mary. Mary is the one perfect exemplar for female Catholics. Insofar as she was, I'm doing the novena to St. Joseph with and for a friend right now. She was perfectly submissive to Joseph. It's contained in that. She was the ultimately silent, obedient wife. She was the perfect model. She never, in the novena to St. Joseph, it beautifully captures it. She was perfect. She never talked back. She was given wholly to St. Joseph. She is the ultimate model, and she's the only perfect woman ever to live, which does not include all the other female saints. The church has leaned in, if you want my opinion, this is opinion, is leaned into the other female saints who are largely religious women, because they're really holy for one thing, but because the church has leaned in a feminist direction over the last 100 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's used, and this was my exact critique to Leo Severino, and he said, that's really good. I'm going to start using this. He's using it in talking points now when he gives interviews. Mother Cabrini and Mother Teresa and Teresa of Avila and all of these amazing saints, holy women, they're not perfect models for lay women because they're having to do things that are not consonant with women simpliciter, and especially not lay women who are wives. They are independent. They are. When we would go visit the convent out in Tehachapi when we lived in California, these women are building wire fences. Like a nun was showing me how to do it. They're like cleaning cow patties. They're doing man work. They have hard, calloused hands. They're praying so much. They're independent of living men, aside from, of course, Jesus. And it's a existence, as the layperson would define it, between male and female, leaning toward male. The ultimate model for Catholic lay women is the perfect woman, Mary, who was not, at a convent. She was the perfect wife and mother because she was perfectly silent, perfectly domestic, was a teen mother. I'm not saying you should become a teen mother if you're unmarried, but 19's like the ideal time to get married. That's when my mom got married, and my mom and dad are two of the closest married people I've ever met.
Thick as thieves.
So Mary's the ideal, and Pearl just, she doesn't know shit from Shinola.
Well, isn't it
so
weird?
She thinks that we're leaning too much into Mary. We're leaning away from Mary.
So I agree with that, but it's a politically incorrect thing to say, which I know you shy away from saying politically incorrect things, Tim, so it's very brave of you.
Yeah.
But it's a politically incorrect thing to critique the church. I know, and
they're just not exemplars for lay women.
But it's like, okay, all women doctors of the church came after 1962. It's like, I'm just saying,
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying they're not doctors. I'm just saying,
Right. And I'm not a sede. I'm not saying that that's false. It's just literally there were zero women doctors of the church. And also, doesn't St. Paul say something about women doing doctrine, teaching? Doctor means teach. Can women teach?
Yeah, very,
that's weird.
Very strange. Yeah. But the point I was going to make about female saints are, Mary's a saint. She's the saint. She's the queen of the saints. And I thoroughly agree. Completely forget that. And we focus on nuns who are saints, which have very little overlap to lay women. But the same isn't true in reverse, or the same approach to this isn't true in reverse for men and saints. Men in the church at large don't look at male saints who are priests and monks, and then guys go, you know what? I need to like only subsist on the Eucharist, shave the middle of my head and go out into the, like, right. Oh, I'm not a monk. I'm not an ascetic.
Right.
They just they immediately abstract out the virtues and then implement those. But the reverse is like all women in the entire lay church go, oh, all women should act like Mother Cabrini.
Right. Which even Leo Severino was like, yeah, this is a very good point. She's a holy saint of the church. God bless her. And we are God blessed for having benefited by her, particularly children in New York in her day. But she's not much of an example for Catholic women. The producer of the movie was like, that's a great point. And for Catholic lay women, you need the ultimate, a perfect woman who never sinned, wasn't stained by original sin, was never tempted to be disobedient, like Mary. And there's only one. And she was a lay woman.
And what I told you when we were discussing Cabrini, that all the film had to do to make that distinction was to have a character, it could be a completely fictitious character, that was like Mary, a young, submissive wife and mother.
Right.
And then have that character interact with Mother Cabrini and articulate in a brief conversation the differences between a nun and a wife.
Which are very stark. And Mother Cabrini have, and I told that to Leo, and he's like, oh, that's good. That's good. He's like, do you have the money to go back and re-edit and fill? He's like, you know, knowing that I didn't. But it's like Calogero talking to, what's his name? In Bronx Tale, when Calogero is talking to Sonny, and Sonny's like, this is my life. This isn't your life. You need to follow the law and go to school.
Yeah.
This is my life. This ain't your life. You needed that scene between Mother Cabrini and a young lay woman being like, look. Yeah, I was made by the directors of the film I'm now in, break that wall. I was made to look a little disobedient. I wasn't. It's just that when you're the mother head of an order, arguably that entails some mannish defiance and independence. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I don't think it does, but maybe it does some. Maybe it requires some... I don't know, ambivalence on gender roles. I'm not sure if I'm comfortable with it, but it doesn't really matter because so few women are in the position to be a Mother Cabrini ever, like 0.00001. I don't even have to tend to that sticky philosophical aporia because what I really care about is the rule, not the exception. And the rule is all the women that are going to see that film, 99%+ of them, want to go be mothers, they're just going to extricate the kind of defiant girl boss attitude and go apply that at home, and that's really negative. If they were looking at Mary being perfectly submissive to Joseph, perfectly silent, perfectly obedient, perfectly domestic, always at home, young, her husband's older than her, she just completely looks up to him and trusts him and does everything he says, then, and that's the perfect person who's not also perfectly God, that's the one perfect person, then they'll see, wow, this is what a woman is. And that's what, without being an explicitly religious film, that's what a woman will be.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to bring it back around and say, if you're out there and you are or know someone that's like, yeah, I got 50K and I want to invest it in something that means more than the average investment by a lot, could go completely viral. And
which, by the way, I've done 5 times.
Yeah, how many? I mean, how many times have your last film was viewed? How many? Your second to last film was viewed? How many times?
Like 50 million. The one and one before that was a little over seven figures as well. That something was eight figures. The one before that was over eight figures.
Of views.
Of views, yeah, not dollars. So yeah, like I know what I'm doing. Yeah.
This is an experienced director, and so this is the opportunity, and I think we can end it here. Watch Tim Pool Culture Wars on Friday. Mm. It's going to be a live execution, which we don't have anymore. Pope Francis says. I mean, watch it.
Jihadi John, Tim Gordon.
That's all I'll say. Yeah, no, it'll be great. Great fun. It's great work if you can get it, and it's great entertainment if you can see it. So watch there. Nick will be there rolling cameras, sticking the camera in everyone's face if they allow it. That'll all go into What a Woman Is, and we've begun, you know, that will be the official beginning of production on the film, right?
Yeah, principal photography begins this Friday. Very exciting.
Be there. Well, you don't have to go out to Washington, D.C.
Please don't, actually.
Please don't be there. Just walk. They'll get mad at us. Everyone's invited. Yeah, come one, come all.
But we're going to Pennsylvania Avenue. I love Pennsylvania. I'm kidding. That's a joke. That is a joke.
Do not go to that avenue. Please, never, never, ever. Don't even go to Pennsylvania, much less Pennsylvania Avenue. So it's the real deal. If you want to contact me, Timothy J. Gordon at timothyjgordon.com. The film's happening no matter what. High Ground by Nightfall, come hell or high water. This movie's going to come out, but one or two good men is what we need.
Just a few good men.
That's true. You can't handle the truth, I don't think. Maybe you can. Well, God bless you. Thank you, Nick, for showing up at my house and forcing your way onto the set.
Happy to. Don't get a restraining order.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.